Welcome to the East City Wesleyan Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you would like to learn more about East City Wesleyan Church, please go to ecw.org.nz for more information. Now, here's your podcast.
All right, so we're in the middle or two-thirds mark of a series called The Story. And the story is us going through the entire story of the Bible from beginning to end. And we are at the second last sermon in the story of Jesus with the Gospels. And what we learned last week was that Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was the Messiah. And it was out of this identity of who he was that gave him focus, purpose, and intentionality. And he knew where he was going. He knew what his call was. And with us, it's the same way. When we know who we are, that we are his, that Christ is our life, that we have died and we have now been raised with Christ, that he is our identity, he is who we are, we adopt him. When we realize that, we are then set on a purpose, on mission, and on focus, that we are actually called by God into something because of that identity that we have within us. And this morning, I'm going to cut right to the chase. I'm going to tell you exactly what we're talking about this morning and going to go right with it. Jesus' call led him to the cross. So his identity was Messiah, and this identity led him into a particular direction, which was to the cross. But let that sink in for a moment. Let that sink in. God's call on Jesus led him to the cross. His call led him to one of the most excruciating ways that any one of us can die. It led him to the cross. In our culture and in some areas of Christian or church culture, there's this idea that we need to succeed. We need to live a good and a comfortable and a prosperous life. That everything that we do needs to lead to something amazing and great for us and for our family. Even within the church, there's people who preach and say that God just wants to continually bless you with amazing and wonderful and awesome opportunities. He doesn't want you to experience any discomfort whatsoever. He wants you to live your best life now. That's not entirely true, but it's not entirely not true. Yes, we have so many different blessings in our life that God has given us. He's given us life itself, which is a blessing. He's given us a family. He's given us maybe a job. He's given us friends. He's given us a church. He's given us so many different things that we can say, yes, God has blessed me in such a tangible way. However, there's also a sense in which God prioritizes something over just blessing you. And I believe that God prioritizes his call on your life over the things that kind of make life really fun and awesome sometimes, like having great families or having a great job or all those different things or just enjoying life in general. There's a priority list. And I think that priority is that God has a call for each and every one of us that can sometimes be at odds with this idea of living a really blessed and living a really prosperous and exciting and comfortable life. Because God called Jesus to the cross. It led him to incredible discomfort, incredible pain. And it wasn't a good life from our world's perspective, from our perspective even. However, God called him that. And God wants to call you too. He wants to call people. This is what he's all about. He wants to call each and every one of us out of the identity that we find in Christ. He wants to call. And a calling from God takes priority over our comfort, takes priority over maybe even our wants and desires, because what he calls us to might be in conflict with what the world is saying a good life looks like, and even what we say a good life looks like. God wants to call people. But when I say God wants to call people, we sometimes get confused. So in the first service, I said that I asked the question, has anyone played the game Telephone? And they all look confused. So you're like, what is that game? What's the game that you... Chinese Whisper game. Yes? Okay. Okay. I've never called it that. I've only called it Telephone because it works with my illustration. So you may have played this game as a kid where everybody's in a circle. Maybe you're 5 or maybe you're 18. I don't know. I don't know the last time you played this game, but I think many of us have played this game. You're all in a circle, and the first person says a phrase, but they don't tell everyone the phrase. They whisper the phrase to the first person to the left or to the right. And then the phrase gets whispered along the circle all the way around until it goes back to the first person. And usually what happens, especially if you have some really mischievous people in the circle, the phrase is nothing like or has an inkling of what the original phrase was. So I feel like that's what a lot of us think of when we think of God's call on our life, what God's calling us to do. It's like he's trying to tell us something, but by the time it gets around to us, it's really confusing and difficult to discern. That it has you have an inkling of what God's calling you to do, but you're not 100% certain because it's kind of got mixed up in translation a little bit. But what I would argue is that God's general call for each and every one of us is like we're picking up the phone to a friend, where we're having a conversation, we know exactly what God wants us to do. His general call, not a specific call, but his general call. We know exactly what God wants us to do. And I believe that Jesus knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Jesus knew the call that God gave him. Our scripture reading this morning was taken out of the portion of scripture where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is the moment, the hours before he's actually given over to the people to be crucified. He's betrayed by Judas. And Jesus knew in his entire ministry, he knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew it. Throughout the entire Gospels, there's foreshadow of this one climactic moment. We know what's going to happen, and Jesus knew what was going to happen. However, what's really interesting is he's in the garden, and he's praying. And what he prays is this: "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." So what Jesus is asking at the moment before he's about to get betrayed and then go to the cross is he's asking God, is there another way? Yes, I know you've called me to this, but this is really difficult. This is really tough. And to be completely honest, there's a few other options that I have in my head of what I could be doing. And if at all possible, I don't have to die to still accomplish your will, please let it be. Please let it be. But you know what? It doesn't matter what I want. It's what you want that really matters. That's the posture of Jesus. He wants what God wants, but he knows that the cross is going to be tough. He knows it's not going to be easy. And for some reason, I think, because I'm so familiar with the Gospels sometimes and with the story of Jesus, I think that when Jesus is going to the cross, it's like he had no difficulty going to the cross because he knew that's what he was supposed to do. But this passage in particular demonstrates that Jesus saw this as an incredibly difficult thing. He's praying over and over and over again to God because it wasn't easy. And to be completely honest, Jesus had options. He could have done something else. The crowds were following him all throughout his ministry. They're following him because they saw something in him. They saw potential. The crowds saw that Jesus was performing miracles. He was casting out demons. He was teaching like no one had ever taught before. And they saw potential in this guy. They saw him, and they were like, he could be the one who kicks out the Romans and becomes king over this nation. And we are brought into this amazing era of blessing where God will be king here through this person, Jesus. If only he were to kick out the Romans and do this. So they saw a lot of potential in Jesus, and that's honestly why so many people followed him, is because they had this vision of what it looked like for when God was going to be king, and God was going to choose a Messiah, and the Messiah was going to be king over the nations, and Jesus had a lot of potential. He could have done it. If he can cast the demons and perform miracles, he can certainly raise up an army and start a revolution and kick out the Romans, just like they have wanted for so many years, and just like they have done in the past with the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and others as well. They want these people out. But Jesus didn't choose his potential. He could have done so many different things. He could have chose a different path, but he didn't choose his potential. Have you ever had to make an easy but wrong choice versus a difficult but right choice? Have you ever had to make an easy but wrong choice over a difficult or right choice, or vice versa, a difficult or right choice over an easy but wrong choice? I don't know why in life this is always the case, not always, but a lot of the time. The thing that we know we ought to do tends to be the thing that is really difficult to do. Have you ever sensed that? I'll give you an example. It's really easy to eat fast food every single night for dinner. It's really easy to do that. It tastes really good. I don't have to put too much thought into it, really. It's almost like my body just craves it. I just want it. However, I know it's wrong for me in the long run. versus the difficult thing but right thing to do, which is to eat appropriately, eat healthy, you know, have a treat once in a while, but eat healthy, and then exercise a little bit, you know, actually do things with your body from time to time. That's the difficult thing, but it's the right thing, and the easy thing but wrong thing is to disregard your health entirely, but it's really easy to do that. Maybe the easy but wrong thing to do is to not stand up for somebody who's being taken advantage of, maybe in your family or work, or maybe just even in different situations. But the difficult but right thing to do would be to, you know, stand up for somebody and to help somebody out. I think the easy but wrong thing to do would be to live life passively and not really reflect too deeply on the future that you want for you and your family, and just to kind of take each day as it comes and not think reflectively on your life. I think that's a really easy thing to do because we're all busy people. We're all busy, aren't we? You know, I can't think about tomorrow. I got to worry. But the difficult but right thing to do is to really see and ask God, who do you want me to be? What do you want my life to be? Who are you calling me to be? That takes a lot of intentionality, a lot of hard heart searching and purpose and thought. But it's difficult, but it's the right thing to do. There's this thing in life where it seems like the difficult thing to do tends to be the right thing to do. Not always, but it tends to be that way. And I don't make the rules. I don't know why that's the case, but that's the case. Sometimes I just want to eat fast food every night, but I know it's not the right thing to do. I know it's not the right thing to do. Maybe no one else can relate to that, and that's why no one's agreeing with me. Maybe I'm just like a little bit, anyway, unhealthy in my heart. All right. No? Okay, good. See, Jesus did the difficult rather than the easy thing. He did the difficult rather than the easy thing. He could have fulfilled his earthly potential and been king, just like the nation of Israel wanted him to do. And this is probably going through his mind in this passage. It's probably going through his mind. Is there a different cup, Lord? Is there a different cup you want to give me? If there is, I'll take it. I'll take it. No, I want you to do this. He's like, okay, your will be done, not mine. And this is because Jesus wanted to obey God. Jesus had a call, and he wanted to obey God. His main goal while on earth was to obey God in all things. And this was really the only thing that he was occupied with. The only thing that he cared about was obeying God and what he wanted him to do. And the entire story of the Bible, beginning to end, is searching for somebody who will do the will of the Father. This is what the story of the Bible is. Will Abraham do it? He messed up a little bit, but you know, I can work with him. Will Moses do it? He did a great job, but you know what? He had his imperfections. Will David do it? You know what? He did amazing work, but you know what? He made one really massive mistake in his life. The Bible's searching for somebody throughout the entire story of the Bible, for somebody who will obey the Father perfectly. And this person is Jesus. It is found in God incarnate, who came down and died for the sins of the world and reconciled the world to himself because he was obedient to God. At any moment, Moses had a great track record. Abraham had a not so good track record. But all it takes is one moment. David had a great track record, but all it takes is one moment. And Jesus, this was his moment. Will he listen to God? Will he obey God? But above all else, he wanted to obey God. And that led him to the cross to reconcile the world to him. When we follow Jesus, we're given the exact same calling too. We're given the exact same calling. Obedience is every Christian's calling in life. When I talked about a general call, not specific, but a general call, out of who we are, out of our identity, out of our life being caught up in Christ, Christ being our life, our call then, our focus, our purpose, our intentionality is entirely in obedience to him. That is our calling. If you're wondering, what is God's call for my life? It's really simple. It's tough, but it's simple. It is to obey Jesus. It's to obey God. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When I start speaking about obedience, some people start to feel a really heavy weight in their shoulders because they've got the cart ahead of the horse. Let me explain. When we think of obedience in the Christian life, we sometimes think that we need to be a really good person because that is how God will like us, how God will give us favor. That is how God forgives us, is through us at least trying really hard to be good people. That's not at all what the gospel is. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, while we were still disobedient, while we were still completely rejecting God, Christ died for us. Your salvation, your reconciliation, your hope is not based on yourself. It's not based on your obedience. It's not based on what other people think of you. It's based entirely of the love of God that was expressed on the cross of Jesus. Amen? It is based entirely on that. We don't perform to receive this love. It is through receiving this love that we then walk out this calling, which is obedience to Jesus. You don't, if you switch it around the other way, we live a legalistic faith. That means we're trying to earn everything. If you get it the right way around, then we are doing out of the love of God, not to receive the love of God. It's out of the love of God that we do. But when we live in a world that says the most important thing is for you to fulfill your potential, we're at odds sometimes with this thing of obedience. Jesus had a lot of potential, but he didn't fulfill his potential. God doesn't want us to fulfill our potential. He wants us to fulfill our calling, which is to obey him. And I need to explain and qualify that statement because it's a bit provocative. Mother Teresa, she didn't fulfill her potential. She fulfilled her calling. I'm sure she was an incredibly talented woman who could have done a lot of different things in life. A lot of different things. I am certain of that. Because you don't become a great person like that if you don't have a lot of potential. However, she was called by God to something in particular, to start an organization to care for people. And that's what she did. Was she successful by the world standards? Was she making a lot of money? Was she speaking? Did she have a big family? No, you know what? She did what God wanted her to do. She obeyed the call that God gave her, and she gave up a whole lot of other options because of that. God called her to do that. K.P. Yohannan, who started Gospel for Asia in 1979, I had the chance to hear him speak in 2012, and he is an incredible speaker, an incredible man. And when I looked at him, I was like, man, he is just like so gifted, such a gifted guy. And his organization spreads the gospel throughout Asia, through supporting different people and through just straight up preparing missionaries and stuff like that to spread the gospel. And because of that, people have heard the gospel for the first time in Asia, in some parts of Asia. And he had a lot of potential. He could have done a lot of different things, but he had a call on God to do something in particular. And his call was to obey whatever God was calling him to do. And even when I look at my own life, even when you look at your life, you might think to yourself, especially if you're young, or even if you're older, in looking back, you had a lot of potential to do so many different things in life, or you are young and you're like, I have so much potential to do so many different things in life. However, what really matters is, what is God calling me to do? What obedience is God asking me to do? Because if I look back on my life, Laura might laugh, but I could have, in different situations, I could have been a mortgage broker. My mom's a mortgage broker. We had conversations when I was in high school about, you know, one day taking over her business. Not in a serious conversation, but, you know, it was definitely in the back of her head. And now she's trying to find somebody to kind of help her out, and that's not me, because I couldn't fulfill that aspect of potential because I had a call, a specific call that cast away that kind of potential. I like things. I like math in high school. I loved just tinkering with things. I love objects. My mind just kind of thinks like that. And I contemplated potentially being an engineer, or at least working with things. I loved looking at water run. I just loved water. And I don't know why. I would just be on the bus and I would just like look at water flowing. And I was like, irrigation is such a cool thing. I would love to like do something with irrigation. But I'm not doing that right now. I love seeing money grow. I love seeing how you can make money grow. I love finances. I love it. I love figuring out how to budget. I love all those different things. And it has crossed my mind, I could potentially do this. But I'm not doing it, because that's not the call that God has placed on my life. And there are things that you're thinking of that you aren't doing, maybe because God hasn't called you to do it. But you're also maybe thinking of, Joey, hey, I'm not called into ministry in those three examples, and I'm not like you. That's not my call, so how does this apply to me? I would say it applies to you 100% because God's call is simply to obey him. Whether it's big things in the sense of life-changing events or whether it's just the day-to-day things of life, God is calling us to obey him, and that's not exclusive. It's inclusive. If you are found in Jesus, if your identity is found in him, he is calling you to obey him. And sometimes it takes a little bit of listening and a little bit of asking to ask God, what are you calling me to do, even in the small and even in the big things as well? Imagine it like this. Imagine you are on a motorway, and when you're younger in life or maybe when you're older in life, God might call you to something big where you take a big exit and you go into a completely different region of the country. And that's huge, and that's a big thing that God might call you to do. But the vast majority of us, actually all of us, God calls us in little ways. It's like we're in the region, in a particular region in Auckland, and God calls us to take a left here, a right here, go straight through here. It's all little decisions, little turns that aren't massive, massive decisions and obediences that take us to a completely different region in life. But it's within the sphere that we are currently living in right now, God is calling us to something. Maybe he's calling us to love our neighbor more. Maybe he's calling us tangibly to love our neighbor more because we might think, you know what, I don't know my neighbors very well. I don't know them at all. They've been living here for 2 years and I haven't knocked on their door once. And maybe that's been a burden on your heart for 2 years and you're just like, I can't do it. I can't knock on the door. Maybe God's calling you to say, you know what, you need to start a relationship with your next door neighbor. That's the little thing God might be calling you to. Maybe he might be calling you to actually change your career, change your focus in life because what you're doing you just don't agree with anymore, maybe ethically, or maybe you just feel like God's prompting you in a different direction. That's a bigger call, but he's still calling you. God calls us in many different ways, and it's really particular as well, but the biggest call he does is he calls us to simply obey. That is what God is calling us to do. So here's my question for you. What is God asking you to obey? There's the general call, the call that he's given every single one of us, which is to obey. But then it gets a bit more particular. What is God asking you to obey? And I believe if you're following God and if you're praying, if you're engaging with him on a daily basis, he's going to prompt you to do things. It might be things that are really personal in your heart, or it might be things that are really external, like I said, knocking on your next door neighbor and actually store and actually having a relationship with them. It's so many different things that God's calling us to do. And we just need to ask him, God, what are you calling me to do? And the best way to live our lives is not to fulfill our potential of this intangibility of what we think success is. Because when we think of potential, when we think of, oh, I could potentially do so many different things. What we're doing is we're actually comparing ourselves to others. Because what I've realized is, like, I could potentially make a lot more money. Potentially, I could. I could be doing something else and making a lot more money. But here's the question. How much money do I need to make to actually know I fulfill my potential? And use that in any area of life. But when it comes to the call of God, you know you fulfill God's call because it's really tangible. You obeyed him. That's simply it. It's not this abstract thing of potentiality. It's a real concrete thing of what is God asking me to do and have I done it? What is God asking me to do, and have I done it? And now I know what you might be thinking as well. I'm trying to predict your thoughts here. You might be thinking, Joey, I know God's called me to do things in life. He's called me to do maybe a big thing or maybe a lot of little things that I'm ignoring him constantly. And I am not doing what God wants me to do. What do I do? My response would be, to just receive Jesus. My response would be just to pray, just to engage with God, just to show up, just to invite his presence into your life and just begin to pray, you know what, Lord? I don't want to do this. Please give me the strength to do this. I don't want to do it. Please give me the strength to do it. And you know what? We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to follow through all the time. We're going to disobey God. It's going to happen. But the good news is that our salvation and our reconciliation and our worth is not dependent on your obedience to God. All those things are entirely dependent on who Jesus is and what he did, and that we need to receive that. And as we receive that, and as we invite God into our lives, and as we surrender over to him, this obedience thing, I'm not looking for perfection, this obedience thing becomes a little bit easier because of you know whose you are, and you live out of that. If you truly know whose you are, that you are his, then obedience becomes easier. And then we sometimes, as life goes on, we fall back into thinking that we are who we think we are what we do, we are who our family says we are. But as we really focus in and realize that we are who Christ says we are, then this whole obedience thing, I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but it gets a bit easier to say yes to Jesus as he asks us to do different things, as we truly find our identity in him. Jesus has a great life for you. He really does. It might look different to the life that you thought you were to have or the life that you're going to have, but according to God's kingdom, he has a great life for you. It might lead to the cross. It might lead to difficulty. But it's a life of obedience. And it's a life where you find your worth, your identity, who you are in him, that leads you onto a purpose and a focus and a call. Jesus fulfilled his calling, not his potential. Fulfill your calling, not your potential. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you chose us, that you died on the cross before we could even think of obeying you, Lord. That you have given us the opportunity to come to you and to receive you as our identity, as who we are. That we are reconciled to God and that we are loved by God. And Lord, I ask that as people today are asking the question, Lord, what are you asking me to do? What are you asking me to obey, whether it's a big or whether it's a small thing, or maybe it's a lot of different things? Lord, I ask that you would be faithful and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would prompt people to obey what you're asking them to obey, Lord, and that you give them the strength to follow through the identity that you have given them, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.